Yeah, we're talking about overcoming. You know, if we're going to be among the sons of God, we're going to have to overcome. And I think that's what we've been praying for Sister Connie. She's going through tribulation, and I think we have the witness that is through tribulation that we enter into the kingdom of God. But the very word of overcoming implies that we have some kind of a battle, that we have some kind of tribulation that is coming against us, that we have to rise up above. We want to talk about overcoming in the flesh today. You know, we started off, I think Mike gave a quick little one-liner that we overcome the, what was it, the world, the flesh, and the devil. I don't know if it's in any particular order. That's not a verse in the Bible, but it summarizes, I believe, the realms of overcoming that we need to do, that we need to accomplish, shall we say. Let me just talk about the flesh here for just a little bit. Maybe First John. I think First John has something interesting to say about this. And you're going to know the word when we find it here. First John chapter 2. And take verse 12, I think. First John 2 12. Okay, I write unto you little children. Amen. So it doesn't sound like he's writing to sons right away. He's writing first of all to those who might be immature, little children. He says, because your sins are forgiven, your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write unto you fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. All right, we're talking about the more mature now. I write unto you young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. Now here's the word of overcoming. Young men, amen. When we're young, we need to overcome. We need to learn to overcome the wicked one. That's overcoming Satan. I write unto you little children, because you have known the Father. I have written unto you fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. Now there's a little bit more, yeah. Love not the world. Okay, we've got the overcoming of the world. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Now Jesus said, in the world you have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Now, we know that Jesus overcame the flesh as well. We look over in Luke. We read this, I think, a while back, but we read it again, just a couple verses. In Luke chapter 4, when he was taken, when he was met by the devil, shall we say, when he was in the desert, in the wilderness, and the devil came to him after fasting for 40 days. And he said, Jesus being full of the Holy Ghost. All right, so here's the key now to overcoming. Amen. full of the Holy Ghost, returned to the Jordan, returned from the Jordan, and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing. So this wasn't just a 5-minute temptation. It says he was tempted of the devil for 40 days. Amen. And in those days he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterward hungered. So of course he's hungry. God gives us flesh. There are needs of our flesh. There are things that our flesh is meant to accomplish in this life, but it is not meant to rule over us. Okay. So the devil said to him, "If thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread." So he's challenging him. Now, Jesus had to know that he was the Son of God. He didn't have to prove it to Satan. In other words, you're not moving me, Satan. You're not. I don't do anything because you challenge me. Amen. And Jesus answered him, saying, "It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." So we see that Jesus, amen, the one thing that we see here is that Jesus overcame the flesh. He overcame the, now, the word of God says that he was tempted in every way. How does that verse go? In every way that we're tempted. Can anybody quote that verse a little better than I did? I think I got it there. In every manner, he was tempted as we are. Well, was he just tempted by bread? I mean, is that the only carnal thing he was tempted for? I was listening to Billy Graham one time, years ago, I heard him. And he said, somebody came to me and he says, "Billy, Brother Billy, was Jesus tempted by a woman?" And Billy answered him, he said, "Well, yes, of course he was, because he was tempted in every manner that we are." Now, it doesn't record every one of his temptations, but I believe that he was tempted. He was, of course, the one advantage that he had was that he did not have he did not have a natural father who was, shall we say, descended from Adam. Amen. He did not have a natural father whose, I don't know if I'll use the term DNA, had a history of fallen and giving in to the enemy. He had that one advantage. However, he was still tempted. Now, let's go on to some other, let's look at Colossians chapter 3. We're talking about the flesh here, just the flesh, the carnal interpretation of the flesh, all right? Because there's a higher interpretation here too. Colossians chapter 2 gives some counsel on how to overcome. Chapter 3, and we'll go to verse 5. Well, I should really start with verse 3. "For you are dead." That's a famous word to me. The Lord spoke to me, "For you are dead." Amen. And I didn't know what it meant really at the time, because I could have been very well dying in the natural realm, but I knew I wasn't dead. But what God is saying here is, if the Lord can tell you you are dead, that's really good news. All right. "And your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory." Now, there's the promise. There's the promise of being dead. that you will appear with him in glory. When he manifests himself on this earth, you're going to be with him. When that glory is manifest, that glory is going to be manifest in you. Now that's the word that Madeline was giving to Connie. Amen. That glory of she used the word miracles, but it's not just miracles. It's a manifestation of the fullness of Christ. So let's go on. How do we get there? How do I come to the place of being dead? By mortify, therefore, your member. Do you know what mortify means? Well, do you know what a mortician does? A mortician handles people that are dead. Now, if you're going to mortify, you're going to kill, all right? You're going to be brought to death. Mortify, therefore, your members. So we're talking about your flesh. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. Earth speaks of the carnal realm again. He didn't say anything that's in heaven, but on earth. Here goes to list them. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, amen, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Did you know idolatry is included here in the flesh? Amen. For which things' sake the wrath of God cometh upon the children of disobedience. See, we're not children of disobedience anymore, are we? Amen. The wrath of God is the judgment. We talked about the judgment of God coming upon those who are unrighteous. In the which you also walked sometime when you lived in them. There was a time in your past, before you were delivered of it, that you walked that way. Amen. But now ye also put off all these. Now there's some more things that we're putting off. Is this flesh or what? Let's go. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Amen. Let's see how far we want to go with this. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. So we're going to mortify the flesh, and we're going to put off the old man. In other words, the old man is like a coat covering me. I'm going to put it off, amen, and I'm going to put on the new man in Christ. All right, so mortify, Colossians. Now, let's get some counsel from Galatians chapter 5, and we'll look at verse 16. How are we going to walk and not fulfill the lust of the flesh? This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Walk in the Spirit. What does that mean? Walk in the Spirit. That means you are under the authority, you are under the governance of the Spirit. You are not under the governance of the flesh. Now, the people of the world, amen, people who love the world, people who follow the world, people who are attracted by the world, held in bondage by the things that the world has to offer, they're not walking in the Spirit. So let's go on. Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now, that doesn't mean that the lust of the flesh will not be there. It says that you will not fulfill it because you're walking in a higher realm. For the flesh lusteth against the spirit. So you see, there's a conflict. Spirit or flesh? Which way are you going to go? Are you going to take the higher way or are you going to take the lower way? Now, the lower way is carnality, is flesh. It's always pulling us down. The higher way is that we also have a spirit, and that spirit is in communion with God. So the spirit is pulling higher. Between the two, we have the soul. The soul is either going to go for the flesh, or the soul is going to go for the spirit. And I believe it was Brother Opie a couple of weeks ago that brought us a very good word about the mind. The mind is the one that controls the soul. Which way? In other words, you can move your soul. I think David said one time, "I will say unto my soul, be thou lifted up." In other words, you're going to be in command of where your mind goes. And if you're in command of where your mind goes, you're going to be in command of which direction your flesh moves. So, for the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And the conflict is taking place where? First of all, the conflict is in our soul. Amen. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Let's go a little further. Yeah. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft. You thought they would, where did you think these are things of the flesh? Witchcraft is included. Hatred, variance, emulations. Now, what's that word emulations mean? It means selfish ambitions. Selfish ambitions. Wrath, strife, or dissensions, seditions, heresies, envying, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Jealousy, yes, emulations, I'm sorry, I read the wrong one. Jealousy, and then strife is selfish ambitions, I'm sorry. All right. Shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So it's quite clear. If you're going to be involved in these things, not inherit the kingdom of God. So let's look at the contrast. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. What were there? I believe there were nine of them there, weren't there? Yeah. Against such there is no law. For they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. So here again is the mortifying of the flesh. It's putting it on the cross and putting the nails in it, and that's going to stay there. You're not going to rule my life. Amen. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Okay, now let's take a little look at Romans 8. And the whole chapter is a marvelous chapter, but I'm not going to read the whole chapter. I'm looking at the lower realm here first. the lower realm of flesh, because we're going to get, before this meeting is over, we're going to look at something else that has to do with flesh that isn't in the realm of gluttony and fornication, that type of thing, okay? It's the flesh thinking versus the spiritual thinking. But let's look at Romans 8 first. I think the first few verses here. Therefore, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Did you notice that there's a condition here? Now, I've had people come to me and say, well, there is now therefore no condemnation. You're a Christian, there's no condemnation. Well, you can be under condemnation if you're not fulfilling the last part of this verse. There is no condemnation to those who are in Jesus Christ. Not just Christ in me, but I am in Christ. Do you see the difference? I am in Christ. That means I cannot do anything except Christ is doing it. I cannot go anywhere that he doesn't go. I can't go off on my own. I am in Christ. If Christ doesn't want to go there, I'm not going to be there. All right? In Christ, and walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So what Paul is implying here, that as a born again, forgiven, saved Christian, you can walk after the flesh. Now, let me point out, we are in the flesh. As long as I'm drawing breath and as long as blood is flowing through my veins, I am in the flesh. I'm in Christ too, but I'm in the flesh. However, I am not walking after the flesh. See the difference? Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So let me just go. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. So if I'm walking after the flesh, I'm under the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do is that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, in the likeness, notice that, in the likeness of sinful flesh. He wasn't sinful flesh. But he looked like a man. He was a man in the likeness of sinful flesh. Amen. And for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. So that you can have a victory. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. There it is, repeated time and time again in the chapter. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Amen? Now, we're born with a certain, how do I say it? With a certain DNA that controls our flesh. We're born, I was thinking this morning, we're born with all kinds of clocks and chemical calendars and all of this kind of thing in our body. You have calendars. You have calendars that go by days of the month in your chemistry. You have calendars that tell you it's time to sleep. Tells you that you need so many hours in that position. You have chemicals that tell you it's time to eat. all this DNA and chemistry, amen, after the flesh. Now, we've been given all this, and as children, as little children, we're apt to tell this flesh that it can have anything it wants. I clearly remember I was a very carnal child, I believe. I'm not sure how carnal, but I know that I had a nasty little temper. And I remember my mother, she put a verse, she wrote it on an envelope and tacked it to the side of the cupboard at my eye level. Not at her eye level, but at my eye level. And I remember, I don't know, but I must have had some temper tantrums. I remember her getting a hold of my ear. Boy, I tell you, you get a hold of the ear, what it was meant to be is, you're going to hear this, son. And she took me over to that cupboard, and she said, son, read this verse. And the verse was, he that controlleth his spirit is better than he that taketh the city. I don't know, she put a couple verses like that there. And she said, now I want you to read that. I must have been 4 years old, but I could read at that age. And she says, you will read that to me. And I read it. And she says, son, you will control that temper. You will do it. So, well, praise God. You know, I have to say, I think I finally got there. I don't know how long it took. I don't know when it happened. I remember one time when I was an adult, I'm thinking to myself, boy, I'm doing pretty good. You know, I don't think I've been mad for a long time. Now, that was the wrong thing to say. Well, praise God, you can get a victory over these things. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded, Brother Opie, to be carnally minded, isn't that what you were talking about the other day? To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Oh my. There's so much in this chapter. Let me go over to verse 25 and then I'll move on. Well, first verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So you're going to have to, your soul, your mind is going to have to make a decision. First of all, it starts in your mind. Your mind is going to make the decision. I am going to overcome my flesh. Amen. Now, if you've opened the door to Satan, you're going to have a lot harder time. For instance, if you've ever opened the door to addictions, cigarettes, drugs, you've opened the door. Now it isn't going to be as easy for you because you've given place. Now, I'd say the same thing to a young person. If you've never given in, if you've never opened the door to fornication, you're going to have a lot easier time overcoming that type of thing than if you have. Because if you have given, then Satan has place. He has ground. And he's going to use that and he's going to work that. He'll get after your flesh and work that in every manner that he can. I want to do verse 20. Where is it? I want to do verse 25 here too. No? No, that's not in. Oh, all right, I did that already. Well, let's go back to verse 12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. You can't get rid of your flesh. I mean, nobody's going to commit suicide. That isn't the answer. You're going to be with the flesh, but you're not going to be after it. Okay? For if we live after the flesh, we shall die. But if we, through the Spirit, do mortify the deeds of the flesh, the deeds of the body, you shall live. All right, I'm talking about the lower realm of flesh. Let's come up to a higher realm of flesh now, but it's still flesh. And I want to go to Matthew 16. When Jesus is having a talk with his disciples, we're going to see something else, something different about flesh and blood. And when Jesus came to 13, verse 13, Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi. He asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" Who do men say? Not who does the Spirit say, but who do men say that I am? And they said, "Some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias or Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." So these are all the options. These are the speculations of man as to who he is. All right. "But he saith unto them, But whom say ye that I am?" In other words, he's testing them. Are you walking after the flesh like all those other people out there that say I'm this one and that one, that I'm reincarnated? Do you believe in that? He's testing them. Or have you come a little higher than that? And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." Now tell me, you're going to have to come higher to understand what Jesus said. How in the world could flesh and blood reveal such a thing to Peter? I mean, I'm talking about my flesh, meat. It has nothing to do with my brain. Just how could flesh and blood? Jesus is talking about a spiritual interpretation that is after the carnal flesh and blood. You didn't get this from a carnal way of thinking. Brethren, for years I had a carnal thinking about the Bible. For years. I mean, long after I was born again. I did not get delivered from that carnal realm of thinking until I began to hear this message. Brother Campbell was the first one I began to hear this word, and something in me said, this is a good word. There's something good here. And Brother Campbell came again, and I heard the message again. And while I was hearing it, I rose up in a higher level, above flesh and blood level, and I said, Oh, I want to understand the Word of God that way. And I had it for a few days after he left town. And I said, "God, where did that go? I've lost it. How come I can't have that spiritual walk after the Spirit understanding in my mind?" And Brother Campbell came back again. And I got it again. And I said, this time I said to the Lord, "Lord, I've got to have it. I've got to have that." I pressed in. I said, "I cannot lose that. I cannot go back to the old carnal thinking. I've got to know the mysteries. I've got to know what the Spirit is saying in the Word." All right. So I got it. And when Brother Lucille came and brought the word began to quicken me. The word began to convict me. The word began to say, look, you're going the wrong way here. You need to turn and go the other way. And I began to turn and go the other. I wouldn't say some of these things that I was walking in sin. It's just that I wasn't walking the way God wanted me to walk. I wasn't understanding the true message in the Word of God. I wasn't understanding the kingdom message. And you know, the kingdom message is an offense to some people. I've brought this message in places where it became an offense to the hearer. They did not want to hear it this way. They wanted to hear it in the old flesh and blood way of thinking. Now, let's go on. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock, amen, thou art, what is it, Petra, and upon this Petros. He's making a little play on words here. Thou art Little Rock, and upon this big rock, this testimony that you gave is the one that I'm going to build my church. Listen to this. I will build my church. He didn't ask any man to build his church. He said, I will build my church. I'll use you as a man, but I'm going to be the builder. And I'm going to be the head, and I'm going to be the boss. But man has taken over. Amen. And the gates of hell shall not prevail. Oh, the gates of hell will try, but it's not going to win. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, spiritually, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. You know, I don't think we've really come into the fullness of that word yet, have we? Oh, we've dabbled with it. We've gotten in around the edge of it. We've got some deliverance. But you know what? There's a whole lot more that God has for us. Now, let's go down to verse 21. He says, and from that time, all right, now he figured, all right, it's time now. They've got the revelation. It's time that I can begin to tell them about my death, that my sacrifice. Amen. It's time to reveal some higher things to them. All right. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed. Oh, that word, killed. And be raised again the third day. Well, they seem to have missed that part about raised again the third day. All right. Then Peter took him. Now, what this word took him means, Peter said, come over here. Come over here to side. You and me, we're going to have to just you and me. I got some things to tell you. Oh, Jesus, Peter's going to give him the word now. Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, far be it far from thee, Lord. This shall not be unto thee. What happened to that revealed to you by the Father? But he turned and said unto Peter. Now, Jesus turned from this little private talk, and he's going to say this now to the whole group. Turned, and he said unto Peter. I think he turned and put Peter behind his back now, and he said, get thee behind me, Satan. Oh, dear Peter. Now, here's Peter with a great revelation. Flesh and blood did not reveal it. Now Peter's coming with a revelation from Satan. Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou art an offense unto me, O my Lord. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. What does it mean that you don't savor something? What is the meaning of savoring something? Let's take the positive side of it.
Taste.
Cake?
Taste.
Oh, taste. Oh, well, it might be cake too. You have a taste for something. It's a good taste, by the way, Mike. It's not a bad taste. It's not vinegar. Okay. You know, some of us savor certain tastes. You know, maybe you savor chicken, eating a good barbecued chicken. All right. But Jesus said to him, "Thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men." Wow, what a 180-degree turn on Peter. Yeah, it says, you're not mindful of the things of God. Amen. Let me see here. And then he's talking about whoever will save. If any man come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. So the cross, again, is the instrument of death. All right. Let's move along. I want to get verse 26 here too. 25, for whosoever shall save his life will lose it. In other words, if your whole aim is to preserve the flesh and blood, you're going to lose out. If your whole aim is to please the flesh and blood, to give it everything that it wants and needs, you're going to lose out. But if you lose it, you shall find it. For what is a man profited if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Now go back to John, the first chapter. Some of the basic things that John is writing here. We're still talking about the same thing here, brethren. John chapter 1. And we'll come to verses 12 and 13. We'll go back to, say, verse 9. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh unto the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own people, and his own people received him not. Amen. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. In other words, that word he gave power is exousia. He gave authority to become the sons of God, which are born, now wait a minute, which are born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Well, wait a minute. I thought we were all born of blood and flesh when we came from our mother's womb. Yes, But you're going to have to be born of something higher than that if you want to become sons of God. Let's go to 1 Corinthians. And we're going to build this a little better here. Chapter 15. And maybe we start in verse 42. It says, so also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. What does it mean to sow something? You sow the seed is what? You put the seed in the ground. Our natural body, our flesh and blood, the day will come, it'll be sown, it's corrupt, it's going to rot, it's going to decay. Amen. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. That word power is dunamis there. Amen. It is raised. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. So you see, the hope that we have is there is something better that we have coming to us that is far better than the thing of the chemicals and the blood and all that, the DNA and everything that seems to want to regulate this body of flesh. There's something better. It will be sown a natural body, it will be raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, there is a spiritual body. Now, let's come down here to verse 50. Now I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. In other words, you're going to inherit it by your soul. Your soul is going to leave your body when it is planted in the ground after it is dead. What's planted in the ground as a corrupt body will not inherit the kingdom of God. There will be a resurrection. It will be changed, but it will not be flesh and blood. You see, Jesus manifests his resurrected body. It was real. He came in among the disciples. He said, give me something to eat. He said, get a hold of me, feel of me. Okay, I'm real. But he was not of that old order, flesh and blood anymore. So now I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Hallelujah. Well, let's read just two more verses here. Verse 51, but I show you a mystery. Somebody's got to, yeah, we got to mute here. There we are. Yeah. But I show you a mystery. Where are we now? 51. But I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. In other words, we're not all going to die. There's coming a time when Jesus comes, those who are alive will be caught up with him. Amen. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. All right, now let me go to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. And let's start in verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Not in the power of your might, but in the power of his might. Okay? Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. You know what the wiles of the devil are? The schemes and tricks, the snares, the traps that he will set for you. Amen? For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. In other words, our overcoming is not against the flesh and the blood. That's not the way you're going to win. Now, you're going to win over it, but you're not going to wrestle with that as a weapon, but against. Here's who your real enemy is. Principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. Do you know what all these words mean? Do you know who the principalities are? What's principality? Here's the definition. The beginning chief of order or rank, magistrate, principal. In other words, the governing the governing powers that are over this world. And by the way, they're most of them are invisible. These are demonic spirits that rule over kingdoms and tribes and nations. Prince of Persia. Amen. These type of fallen angels that are working with Satan. Amen. Powers, force, mastery, control, delegated influence. Amen. Authority over jurisdiction, right, power, strength. In other words, a type of exousia, a type of authority. All right. Rulers. Now we're getting down to the flesh and blood people that are under these demonic powers. Rulers of this world. The orderly rank and arrangement of the world, including the inhabitants. So the system of our government, for instance, is included in this thing called rulers. Those who are in power in Europe, those who are in power in Nigeria, this is included. These are the things that we're warring against, okay? Spiritually warring against. Amen. Darkness. The shadiness, the shadow, the obscurity of this world. And this world is not the soil or the rocks, but the age, this age, the course of this world. Amen? So this is who our enemies really are. Wherefore, take you up. Take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. So you're going to be able to stand when? In the evil day. In other words, there's coming a day when you will need to know that you've got everything that you need. Okay, one more, One more passage. We're going to look in John. John chapter 6. And we've been here before, but we're coming back again. When Jesus told them, let's read what he told them in verse 54. He said, "Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day." Now, eat my flesh and drink my blood. What did he mean by that? He just told Peter, flesh and blood has not revealed it to you. Now what's he saying? He's saying, eat my flesh and drink my blood. Well, wait a minute. Are we getting confused here? I thought, Lord, you said we're not going to be walking by flesh and blood. So he's come into a higher interpretation again. And you know what? They're not getting it. It's offending. Verse 60, it says here, many therefore of his disciples, when they heard this, said, "This is a hard saying. Who can hear it?" What's he asking us to be cannibals now? How are we going to eat him? How are we going to get his blood? I mean, come on, the word of God says we're not to eat people. We're not to drink their blood. And now he's up here publicly saying this thing. So many were offended. Many who could not rise to this higher realm of spiritual understanding. Many who could not get out of flesh and blood thinking in their soul. They could not get out of it. Why couldn't they get out of it? Well, for one thing, they probably didn't want to get out of it. They saw no need to get out of it. Said, "I'm happy with where I am. I'm happy with my religion. I'm happy with the understanding that we've got. We've got a good thing going. Why are you coming and trying to rock the boat? Why are you coming and saying some of these terrible things that are off the wall? Come on. And, you know, Jesus would never say anything like that." But he did. Now he gave the explanation in verse 63. He said, "It is the Spirit that quickeneth." We need to define the word quickeneth. Quickeneth means giving life. The way I understand the word quickening is when I was studying obstetrics, they told us that when a mother comes to a certain place in her pregnancy, she feels that little fetus kick. She feels it move. And the doctors say, well, that's the time of quickening, the life is felt. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. No. I thought the flesh profits a little bit. No, he said, the flesh profiteth nothing. What's he saying here is your carnal thinking is not going to get you anywhere. It's not going to bring you into the kingdom of God. It's not going to open your understanding. You're not going to be able to see the mysteries of the kingdom of God. You're not going to be able to move from childhood into sonship. You're not going to be able to move from the outer court into the holy place. You're not going to be able to partake of the table of showbread. You're not going to come to the golden altar where you're going to give and sacrifice everything of your soul, everything of your mind, everything of your way of thinking, everything of your emotions, everything that you've held on to for so long. You're not going to be able to do it. You're not going to get in there. It will profit you nothing. The words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. Yeah, but the words you said, Lord, were eat my flesh and drink my blood. No, he said the flesh. What I mean is your fleshly understanding of the words that I said are not going to profit you one bit. Nothing. Amen. Profit you nothing. Well, Jesus didn't have to turn the stones into bread because he said, man shall live by every word of God. And that's what he's going to live by. And that's what we're going to live by. I think we'll bring it to a close here. Turn the other one off. Oh, wait a minute. That's not the one I want.